Hello, and welcome to the Humble Brag Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Mandel. The title of today's episode is Long Voice Notes and Intellectualism. We all know what a long voice note is, right? We've all gotten them. Many of us have also sent them. Why is it even a topic? But it's such a big topic because some people love it. I should say few people love it. Some people hate it. And what does it have to do with intellectualism? Let's get into this. First of all, let's talk about why people hate long voice notes. Some of the reasons, of course. I believe that society has shifted its way into instant gratification and everything that surrounds it. Right? Think about media, think about technology, social media, everything, all entertainment. Think about the way that it has maneuvered society and our behavior and our interests. Going back to the Vine days with those 5-10 second clips and Snapchat and IG and TikTok, what do they all have in common? Well, one of the things they have in common is that it's short, pithy little videos and jokes. But in an underlying way, it's training us to have a short attention span. We jump from video to video. In marketing, we know that if you don't capture the user within a couple seconds, they're gone. What happened to society? How did it become so fleeting? Well, I believe that this is simply an outcome of technology and advancement. However, not everybody plays by those rules. Professors in universities, they're not teaching you lessons in 30 seconds. Education and degrees that are often needed to succeed in life, to achieve certain things, to work in certain industries, you're not acquiring that in 10 seconds, are you? Nor are you acquiring that in a 5-minute video or a 10-minute voice note. So we know, even today, with all that is fleeting and instant gratification, to acquire real knowledge, to acquire anything of real substance, takes time. So this is really interesting, something to really explore, because it creates such a big divide amongst people using media. Some people would rather jump on a 1-hour-long phone call versus listen to 1 5-minute voice note from their peer, their friend, their colleague. Why is that? Is it an attention span issue? So it turns out that there's so many details to this, but we're going to unpack some of it. We're going to get into some of the details, and maybe you could see if you identify with some of it. First of all, the issue of instant gratification. Instant gratification is very fleeting. It makes you happy right now. It doesn't give you anything to carry forward for the future. Typically, with some very rare exception, things that are fleeting and quick don't have an impact on your life. So if you acquire something very easily and quick, if you learn something very easily and quick, if you have a relationship that is very quick, think one-night stands. Why are one-night stands so frowned upon? Our entire life is all about short little video gratification and picture and meme gratification. So what's wrong with a one-night stand? Everyone could agree that a one-night stand is a far cry from a stable relationship that could lead to marriage. Why is that? Yet you don't feel the same way when your friend sent you a 2-minute voice note. You'll admit that a one-night stand is not beneficial to a relationship, to the future, but you won't admit that a 10-second voice note holds no weight? It's very fascinating how we twist ourselves into these pretzels, intellectual pretzels. Clear contradictions across the board. What are we really after? Let's talk about the benefits of long voice notes for a second to contrast this. Long voice notes, in other words, long expressions, expressions that don't have time limits, allow the person who is speaking or expressing him or herself to get it all out without being interrupted. That's a very big point. Also, by giving oneself the luxury of allowing oneself to express in such a manner, it helps clarify the topic for yourself. Very often, speaking the words often makes you realize that it doesn't make sense, right? Let's think about maybe a topic that is a little controversial. When you express yourself and you literally hear yourself speaking your own thoughts, sometimes you reconsider. Wait a second, that doesn't make sense. But wait a second, it made perfect sense when it was in my mind. All of a sudden, it doesn't make sense. words, even spiritually, but words have a power. Expression is very powerful. Expression has a lot of benefits to it. The opposite is true too. The suppression of expression, suppressing someone, not allowing someone to express, communicate, has very negative side effects. So we said expression that is done when utilizing, I would say, an adequate amount of time could help you adjust your thoughts. Your thoughts become more logical. As I also said, it allows you to express yourself uninterrupted. How many times do we get to do that when we're having a conversation with someone in person? So there are a lot of benefits to the concept of long voice notes. We're calling it long voice notes because people identify with that right now because of WhatsApp, Telegram, so on and so forth. But it's not about long voice notes per se. It's the phenomenon of sharing a drawn-out expression. And I don't want to use the word drawn out because that could sound like you're making the voice note take more time than it could or should, which we'll get into some of those dynamics, but rather, let's call it a free expression, an expression where there's no time limit and you really put out there what's inside of you. So it's really interesting. We could admit that there are benefits, clear benefits, to something like a long voice note or something like a voice note to begin with. Like I said, the ability to express without being interrupted. Okay, if you could just admit to that one point that on a voice note you could express without being interrupted, then you already agree that there's a benefit to voice notes over, for example, a face-to-face. I'm not making away face-to-face, by the way. It's also very powerful. That's an age-old tradition. That's an age-old part of humanity. I don't have to say tons about that. Let's focus on 2-minute voice note versus a 10-minute phone conversation, phone call, right? The benefit of not being interrupted. How about the benefit of being able to respond at your leisure, at your convenience? Whereas when you have a phone call, it forces the person to talk to you right then and there. What's if you're busy? What's if you don't want to get stuck on a phone call? What's if you want to choose liberty, freedom to record a 10-second voice note or a 5-minute voice note, but rather you know that if you get on a phone call, it's less in your hands. Because if the other person is in the mood to speak longer, you're going to have a hard time ending that conversation. Of course, we could get into the dynamics of how to end the conversation if you need to. But if you have to go down that road altogether, then you're starting to become the person who gets on the phone with friends or family and has to cut off early because you have boundaries or you're busy. So again, can we admit that there's some kind of benefit to a voice note? I record something, listen to it whenever you want, respond whenever you want, however you want. How about the other benefit of giving you time to think of a response? Maybe it doesn't have to be so instant. Maybe it doesn't have to be off the top of your head. Maybe it doesn't have to be so passionate. Maybe it doesn't have to be so reactory. You don't have to react. Somebody shares something with you, a text, a voice note. Now you have time to think. Oftentimes, when you have time to think, you'll think about your response. The list is endless. I could go on and on. There's like this endless list of benefits to this technology called voice notes, this ability to record something and send it to someone, and then they could do the same back to you. So why is this such a struggle? Isn't that fascinating? We could admit, if we think about it logically, that there are so many human benefits to this form of communication, but yet people hate it. I hate long voice notes. It gets people mad. People put up boundaries. Don't send me more than 45 seconds. Why is that? So I think we have to go back. Let's back up a second again. Society and instant gratification. We know there's benefits. I just spoke of some of them. So society and instant gratification, right? We want everything now and we want it quick and fast. I want that fancy car. I'm going to finance it because I can't afford to buy it in cash. I'm going to lease something I can't afford because I want it now. Even though I only make $400 a week, I'm stocking shelves and I could hardly cover my food and my insurance, but I want that fancy car now. I want that $1,200 phone. Let me finance it, right? Especially in America, where I forget the exact number, but I think the average person has some, the average adult, some, I don't know, $30,000 in debt, some crazy amount. Everything is instant. Social media is instant. If you get a meme and it didn't tickle you, it didn't make you laugh, boom, you scroll to the next one. Subconsciously unamused. You know what I mean? You didn't impress me. This is our society. There's no making that away. A commercial on TV, if it doesn't encapsulate you completely from top to bottom, right to left, we frown upon it. As I said, marketers know. Websites, I'm in web development. If you don't capture someone within a second, the bounce rate, oh my gosh. See ya. What has happened to us? I think it's a side effect of technological advances. It's a side effect of media, social media, having so much information, having so much access at our fingertips, desensitizes the beauty of humanity and simple things. We become insensitive to it. We become complacent. And all of the sudden, the things that meant the most mean absolutely nothing to us now. Now, let me ask you, knowing this and thinking about this logically, can you admit that there is nothing, this is my postulation, my opinion is that there is almost nearly nothing in this world that is ultimately good. The key word here is ultimately, not right now. There is almost nothing that is ultimately good that you acquire in a second, in 10 seconds, in 20 seconds. There are some rare exceptions. Somebody could say something to you out of the blue, a complete stranger that could change your life. Yes, there are some very minor exceptions that could happen. You could win the lottery, you know, per se. You know, you could win the lottery in many different ways, monetarily, spiritually, physically, emotionally. Yes, that could happen. But outside of winning the lottery in any of those areas, what good have you ever achieved? What good do you know of that could be acquired in a couple seconds or a couple minutes? Everything that society stands on, all our achievement, everything we live for and strive towards, takes long, bloody, sweaty, tearful hours, days, months, and years, and decades to achieve. It's a foundational principle that good things are not easy to come by. It is a foundation upon which we view the world and everything that has been achieved stands on. We know it and see it day to day. We may have become complacent, but it is right there. Look around. As I said earlier, we frown upon a one-night stand because we know it doesn't lead to anything ultimate. We look up to a beautiful marriage that was fostered, a relationship that was groomed and worked on, and two people come together and they learn how to love each other. We look up to that, the time that they put in, the struggles and difficulties they went through, everything that we look at, the Olympics, every huge achievement. Why is it an achievement? Because the person toiled and worked so hard on it for so many years, and they've achieved whatever it is. So it's a huge accomplishment. Somebody goes to school, high school, college, universities, finally gets his master's and a PhD, he's a doctor, right? He spent 5, 10, 20 years of his life studying and learning, sharpening his brain, becoming knowledgeable in the area. We look up to that. It's prestigious because he put in the time and effort. They say the hallmark of a relationship is good communication. Why does everybody know that the key to a relationship is communication? What's the big deal about communication? Why is communication? What's the communication? Who communicates? This is 2021. Jump out to Facebook, jump out to Instagram, scroll through the wall, the newsfeed. Who needs communication? I need to talk to my spouse? We know that's ridiculous. This form of, it's retarded. Everyone knows that communication is where relationships lie. And not just intimate relationships, business relationships, all kinds of relationships, friendships. The prerequisite for all of it, communication. And not communication that's done 5 seconds here, 5 seconds there. A good relationship that is cemented is always an outcome of someone who spent hours upon hours in deep and meaningful communication, conversation, expression, sharing from the heart. We know this. This is common knowledge. So let me ask you something. If we know this, could you ask yourself why a 3-minute or 2-minute voice note bothers you so much? That's interesting, right? Is it because you don't value the relationship with the person that much? Your inability to listen to a 2, 3, 5, 10-minute voice note from your friend or your family member or your colleague, that's not because of who they are. Your inability to do so with them, in most cases, manifests itself in your inability to do so for your own spouse, your own mother. So you have to ask yourself, why is that? Do you take relationships for granted? And let's go a step further. If you are incapable of listening to someone without interrupting them for 2 or 3 minutes, have you ever had a conversation in person with your spouse or friend or partner without interrupting them for 2 or 3 minutes? What's the difference? If you're incapable of allowing somebody to express themselves and all you have to do is clam your lips and listen for 3 minutes, if you're incapable to do that over the phone, you think that doesn't reflect into your personal life? Episode 12 of the Humble Brag podcast, or formerly Faith is Strength, is an episode called Listen Better Than You Talk. I recorded it, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago or more. It's a topic that overlaps this a bit, the importance of listening. The reason that's an important topic and how it overlaps with this is because a huge part of this problem is people's inability to listen. You don't have the respect and the patience to listen. People want to just cut in. That's not dialogue. That's not a meaningful, fair conversation where two people who adore each other, appreciate each other, respect each other, each have a turn to express and get everything off their chest or mind. That's the display of a weakness, a character weakness within yourself. I'm not going to get too deeply into that. You could check out that episode. It is incumbent upon ourselves, if we want to have this type of dignity and respect for others, to learn how to listen better than we talk. Learn how to shut your mouth. And the opposite of all of this negative observation is true. And that is that if you have a high level of respect, and by the way, I'm not completely ignorant to the notion that you have to want a relationship, you have to have a respect for the person who's communicating in this fashion. I understand that very well. Someone who I'm not interested in having dialogue with, I do not want to receive a 15-minute voice note from them. But what about those who you do say you love, your closest friends and family? Do you love them enough to allow them the freedom to express themselves to you in a way that they find feasible, in a way that is comfortable to them? One of the defenses that people often put up is that on a long voice note, they don't remember everything that was said. And that I could actually understand. It's very difficult to remember all the points that were made in a long voice note. I communicate with certain people via long voice notes. I'd much rather send a 10-minute voice note to someone and have them respond 5 hours later than getting stuck on a phone call. I don't like getting stuck on phone calls personally. So I'm very, very familiar with the notion that you have to remember what was said. When you're listening to a 10-20-minute voice note, how do you remember what he said in the beginning of the voice note? Thankfully, because I've been doing it for a long time, it may have to do with the fact that I do podcasting. There are certain activities that I do that have helped sharpen my brain. I have an easier time remembering points that were made. Somebody sends me a 10-minute voice note and it contains, let's say, 6 important points. I don't have to write it down. I will probably remember, and in most cases, I'll even respond in order. But I understand the strain that takes on the brain. what I'm saying is that it's something that could be achieved, and it's something that you may want to achieve just in general. It's just sharpening your memory and really focusing when somebody's talking to you. One of the reasons why we can't often remember some of the points a person brings up is because we're so busy thinking about our response. We're not actually stopping, again, going back to episode 12, we're not actually stopping and listening better than we talk. We're actually focusing already on our response. So if we really learn how to block that out and take information in, being sympathetic, really trying to understand what a person is saying to you, and then formulating our responses, it could help sharpen our brain. But there are alternatives. Taking notes as you're listening, typing up a little note on WhatsApp or whatever, just so you remember. I won't forget when I started dating my current wife, Sharon, it became clear really quickly that she didn't have an issue with long expressions. We weren't living together. We just started dating. So there's a lot of communication. I don't want to get stuck on the phone all the time, you know, between work and different schedules, you know. So obviously typical, we speak in the evening, but during the day there's communication. So, you know, you send a 5-minute voice note, a 10-minute voice note, and sometimes you get into really juicy topics. So you end up in a longer voice note. And I realized that she had no issue with them, never complained. She appreciated them, and she would send back tit for tat. You send me 10 minutes, I'll send back 10 minutes. I have no problem with that. One time, it got to the point where we're sending a 30-minute voice note. She literally took out a notepad and started writing notes and then responded in line to all the points. I remember thinking about that and just observing it, because again, you can't force somebody to have patience. But I remember thinking about that and think to myself, wow, first of all, the respect. Second of all, the genuine interest. A person who claims to have feelings for me or care about me is displaying it with their actions. They're not glossing over it. They're not forgetting half the things you expressed. They don't want to forget anything. They're literally taking notes so that they can respond in line to all your points. You know what kind of respect that shows? What kind of interest, genuine interest that shows that you care about that person? You care about what they say? I just remember observing that. This was a couple years ago. I'm like, wow. Look, everyone's different. Like I said, you can't force someone to like something that they don't like. But I remember seeing, I'm like, wow, I got lucky, because it happens to be those closest to me, the 5-10 people in my life who I do express and open up to on this level. Thankfully, I found someone who appreciates it. Matter of fact, when we moved in together and we're married and we're living together, you know, sometimes it comes up on the topic, like I miss those voice notes. Those deep, insightful thoughts and expressions, because not that we don't have that in person, but there's a certain value there. When you're on your own, you're by yourself, you're thinking clearly, you formulate a nice expression for 10 minutes, you pour your insights out. In-person conversations are very different. So it's actually something that people come to appreciate. So that was just an interesting point. But what about the opposite? You get into a relationship, you're 3 months into a relationship, and you notice your partner really, even though they hide it because it's only 3 months in, right? So they're on their best behavior. They don't really appreciate your 2-minute voice notes. Forget about 10, 20 minutes. They don't even like a 2-minute one. What does that show? What kind of respect do they have for you? What kind of interest do they have for you? Is the relationship motivated by self-interest? Because clearly they don't care about what you have to express. And remember what I said, more times than not, if you don't have the patience to listen to a 5-minute voice note from your spouse, you probably don't have the wherewithal to zip your lips in person when your spouse is expressing as well. And by the way, if you're the person that feels the need to interrupt every 2 seconds, that's not a conversation. Don't think that that's a conversation. I like having conversations. I like having, you know, real traditional talk, face to face. Mm-hmm. I'll believe that when we have a conversation and you're quiet for 5 minutes and you let me get all my points out before you respond. But that doesn't happen. Let's be real. So don't hide behind the traditional conversation aspect unless you listen better than you talk. Now, before we get to the intellectualism, you know, what does this have to do with intellectualism? Let's bring in one other caveat, one other part to this. I had coined a term my friends and family are familiar with. Rah, rah, rah. Rah, rah, rah. There's a state of mind is probably even a psychological term for it. I didn't even look it up, but there's a place that humans could be in. It could be, it's more likely to be found in maybe teenagers, a certain age, young adulthood, but you could also find it in older people. But it's something that is more visible in younger people. They're going through a certain stage in life. I call it the rah-rah-rah stage. It's essentially when people are in that state of fight. They're fighting with themselves. They're fighting with their life. They're fighting with everything around them. They might not even know it, and I can't put it into exact terminology because, again, I didn't look into it. It's just something that I coined from observation. But you can see it pretty clearly in people when everything's a fight to them. Everything's an argument. Everything's about right and wrong. Everything's about there's just no peace and there's no calm. So when people are in this stage, in that frame of mind, you cannot have meaningful conversation. Meaningful conversation takes time. Think about it. The most famous podcast in the world, Joe Rogan's, what's an average episode? 2-3 hours? Some of them go to 4-5. Why is that? If good stuff could be expressed in 2 seconds, why are some of the best stuff out there so long? The answer is that they can't. Good conversation, meaningful conversation, meaningful expression takes time. When people are in rah-rah-rah state, when they're fighting everything around them and they're fighting with their peers and they're fighting with themselves, you can't have meaningful conversation with such people. Good dialogue, good expression, building meaningful relationships with those around you requires you to be a certain level of healthy, and you need to be past your rah-rah-rah stage. How will you know when you passed it? When you could dialogue with someone back and forth for an hour or for days, and you're not accusing the person, you're not getting into fights, you're not arguing about politics and world beliefs and all that stuff. When you graduate all of that and you learn to just have nice dialogue and nice expression with the people around you, you'll know that you had passed those days. When you're still in that state of everything's an argument, everything's a fight, everything's right or wrong, then you're still in your rah-rah-rah days. And it's very difficult for people who have passed that stage to dialogue with people who are still in it. Because the person who is in the rah-rah-rah stage is affected and motivated by stuff that the person who has graduated it is not. The person who is in that stage is going to bark at you and accuse you and try to pull you into arguments that you simply do not care about. And it takes two to tangle, right? If it takes two to fight, one person wants to fight, the other person is not even in that state, that frame of mind, that place in life, there isn't going to be a fight. And that's where you could say boundaries come in a healthy manner. You could try to have dialogue with a person, but if they're always going to that rah-rah-rah place, they're barking at you, in other words, they're making noise, you could set a boundary and say, I won't go there. But it doesn't mean you have to shut them out completely, because oftentimes these are people that are family and friends. You could still dialogue with them, but you could float somewhere in between. I have found that the very same people who are in their barking stage, instead of shutting them out completely, there's a way to float in between it. Don't fall into the rabbit hole, into the pit of falling for the defensiveness and getting into these stupid arguments and all that stuff if you're not there. Obviously, if you're there, you'll bark right back. So it's just, you know, you don't have to prepare yourself for that stage. Right? That's just going to happen. That's a performance that's going to come naturally. But if you're not there, there's a way to maintain the relationship without going down that rabbit hole. And there's actually a book called Nonviolent Communication. I highly recommend it. It was written by Marshall Rosenberg, a phenomenal piece of work. Probably one of the most important I've ever read, probably ever will read. Because communication is the key to many, many things in life, certainly the key to any good relationship. And life is all about having good relationships with all kinds of people. So in that sense, that book, being that it pervades all types of relationship which require good communication, is one of the most important books out there. But anyway, you can learn a discipline by which there's a way to dialogue with people, maintain relationships, but not fall for, let me just call it low quality dialogue or poor conversations, or even poor topics. Some of the other more intellectual defenses that are raised on this topic is that, like, you know, these quotables, like, brevity is the soul of wit, you know, by William Shakespeare, which essentially means that intelligent speech and writing should aim at using the fewest words possible. And there is something to that, I will admit. You know, in design we say, less is more. What do these things mean? Simple is profound. Of course. But even Shakespeare, is the entire thing written in one sentence? Of course not. It's retarded to think that real meaningful stuff in life is short. It is true that when you understand a topic really, really well, really, really well, you could refine and get it into a couple sentences. It's like a startup, being that I'm in the startup world. I know what it means to understand your startup every day more and more, and then you update the marketing lingo on your website, and you understand it in a depth that another person doesn't understand it, or better yet, they see the outcome of it. So like, wow, this is Taka genius. And it took you years of toiling to get to that simple explanation of what it is that you're doing. I get all of that. But that has nothing to do with real life relationship. As I said, the professor, the person teaching a lecture, he's not teaching it in 2 seconds. So you have to understand the difference here. Is it very witty? Is it very deep? If you could take a topic and share it in one sentence, I could take this entire episode and share it in 2 sentences or 3. First of all, who's going to listen to it? Second of all, how is it going to have any meaning or impact? Of course it won't. For a jumbo intellectual who already has the experience and the knowledge of a topic, they read a quote, they see a meme, and they see the truth behind it, they're like, wow, so profound. But it's not impacting. It's because they already have that knowledge. So it's somewhat of a fallacy to think that good stuff is given over concise. That good stuff that's given over concise only happened because there already was years of experience and hard work behind it. So when we talk about expression, relationships, fostering meaningful and deep, strong relationships with those around us, we're talking about the journey of making it happen, the journey of that experience. We're not talking about the standpoint, the viewpoint, the perspective that you're already 70 years old and you're sitting back smoking your cigar saying, you know, quoting a quotable and saying you have it all figured out. Great, you made it. We're talking about the people who are going through it. So no, I don't think, from my observation, the way that I view this entire topic, I do not see a way that you can get around long, deep, and meaningful dialogue. As I pointed out earlier, I personally see where voice notes have an appeal. They have a positive to them. The pros are very big. I've also come to acknowledge that most people are not interested in it, and you have to respect that. As I said earlier, I message 5-10 people, closest people to me in my life, with somewhat long messages, only people who reciprocate it and who want it. And guess what? Think about it. The people you have the closest relationships to are the people that you spend the most time in deep, long dialogue with, expression and openness. If you get into an open-hearted dialogue back and forth with someone on WhatsApp, you're sending 5-minute voice notes back and forth for an hour straight, and you think about the ground you covered, the closeness you feel. Now compare that to when you're shooting the shit with someone with 5-10-second voice notes. Which one is more impactful? Which one carries the most weight forward and into the future? Obviously the longer one. Being that we know that society is shaping us to behave in a fleeting manner and to appreciate things that are short and fleeting, we have to fight back for ourselves and learn to have patience to listen and even learn to have patience to express ourselves. We get so caught up in instant gratification type of mindset that we feel weird expressing ourselves for more than a minute or two. It's almost like we judge ourselves for being the weirdo. No, you should know that it has always been and will continue to always be that the most meaningful relationships and stuff in this world are only garnished by way of consistent, time-consuming expressions, education, and dialogue. So what does all of this have to do with intellectualism? Because I see the link between the two. We all know people who are really into conspiracies or really into extreme thoughts. Doesn't matter which side of the aisle it is on, doesn't matter what the topic is, but we know such people. I myself have dabbled with it when I was younger. When you're younger, you're more susceptible to be interested and be intrigued by that stuff. But we know adults who are into it as well. But I don't mean conspiracy in the, you know, the scary sense. I just mean it simply, you know, they're into extreme thoughts, not the mainstream. I personally have since grown in my spiritual journey. So then you get into spirituality, you learn spiritual outlook, which essentially brings you up a notch in thinking, critical thinking and outlook and open-mindedness. But during those periods when you are either into, say, conspiracies or any form of controlled thinking, spirituality, religion, whatever it is, you will find yourself expressing yourself in a very rigid manner with less open-mindedness and more friction. So this ties into the rah-rah-rah. When you feel convicted, when you feel a conviction that what you are saying is right and what you believe is right and everyone has to change and everyone has to learn. And this comes about by the influence around you. So if you're part of a society, a religion, a group, an outlook, a thought process, you will by default start expressing yourself more in the bias of that framework. You will find yourself much more of in a rah-rah-rah stage than somebody who's completely unbiased or intellectual about it. This ties into dialogue because we were talking a lot about dialogue. And what types of dialogue do you have with people? If you want to get to a better place of dialogue, where you come to respect and value meaningful conversations that take time, not fleeting ones that are 10 seconds, it's directly tied to intellectualism. You're not listening to the jumbo intellectuals like Jordan Peterson or Sam Harris and all of those types. You're not listening to a 2-minute voice note and you're a genius now. It doesn't happen. Let's be real. You want to gain knowledge. You want to learn how to become open-minded. You want to learn how to think about the world, how to analyze the world. You are going to have to learn how to become open-minded by way of intellectualism because they're all directly related. The more intellectual you are, the less fixated you are on your desired framework or belief system, the more poised you are to pursue truth regardless of outcome. Why does this matter? This matters because that is when you start stepping into the field of being able to listen to a person's expressions, ideas, thoughts, without falling into rah-rah-rah and pushing your ways, but rather navigating a beautiful conversation in a meaningful way and fostering and then building that relationship forward. I have found in my own journey, as I was a teenager, I started getting really heavily into spirituality and I saw how it, you know, it made me more open-minded, but still spirituality promotes a very specific way of thinking. As I've gotten older, I've come to value intellectualism, I wouldn't say over spirituality, but I have found in my quest for truth that it allows me more freedom to be open-minded. So I'm kind of leaning into that a bit more as I mix it into my spirituality. The result of that is that I could have conversations with people, whether the person is expressing to me the most extreme conspiracies, whether the person is barking at me, whether the person is expressing their struggles or happiness, it allows me to be more intellectual, less biased, and more sympathetic, because I'm not in the conversation to change a person's mind per se. I'm here to listen and then express from my soul. the phenomenon of long voice notes or long expressions, meaningful expressions, correlates directly with intellectualism, because if you're not an intellect, you will not have the tools that you need in order to have the patience to listen or the wherewithal to listen and then respond accordingly. They work together. An intellectual values truth. An intellectual values ideas, and in fact, an intellectual views the entire world and everything in it as an idea, as a conversation. We're not rooting for one team over the other. So when you express whatever it is that you express to me, I have no hesitation. It brings up nothing inside of me to counteract it or fight it, but rather appreciate it for what it is coming from you, someone I care about, and now the ability to just express openly in response. Intellectualism is the mechanism by which we can achieve good dialogue and subsequently strong relationship. It doesn't mean that we have to give up on our values or our frameworks of thought or the disciplines that we are part of. Absolutely not. It all works beautifully together. But it'll certainly lend a hand in a lot less rah-rah-rah and a lot more open-mindedness, patience, and appreciation for quality conversation. When we reach this place, conversations are no longer about me versus you, this idea versus that idea. There's no friction. It's just a beautiful symphony of ideas regardless of outcome. It's a beautiful song of observations without bias. Tapping into this could help us achieve a state whereby we're not annoyed when somebody expresses themselves to us, but rather we appreciate it and respect it if we desire a meaningful relationship with that person. Whether it's by voice note, phone call, or in person, whether it's a 2-minute expression or a 60-minute expression, we come to value life, people, and those we love in a much more meaningful way, in a much more profound way. Thank you for tuning in.